Tonight, Pretty Late favorite Dan Katowski rides sidecar as we chat with SNL writer Fran Gillespie. Then later, Tribune's political cartoonist Scott Stantis joins the pile as we do our most dramatic What's That From yet. And finally, we'll preview the upcoming Fringe Festival. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Hello, hello, hello. Happy Thursday, heading into the weekend. This is Esmeralda's Friday. We were just talking about that tonight.
Yay.
And I love, love, love your hair, Esmeralda.
Thanks.
If you follow Esmeralda on Facebook, you can see that she posted a photo of herself sitting in the chair, ready to get... How long does it take to transform your hair?
It was 4 hours.
4 hours.
Yeah, because I have to bleach it. I have dark hair, so they have to bleach it. Well, they have to put the bleach on,
right.
Let the bleach sink in. Wash the bleach out, mm-hmm. Then put the color in, let that sit, and then do that, and then haircut.
It's dark hair girl problems,
yeah.
That we have.
Yeah.
Remove the color to add the color.
Yes.
But you were telling me that when you do color your hair, it lasts for a long time.
Well, I try to make it last as long as possible,
mm-hmm.
And I hate doing this, but you have to. I don't wash my hair every day now.
Right.
I hate not being able to wash my hair every day, but it's like every 3 days now, I guess.
Yeah. Senator Katowski is marveling at the fact she had her hair colored today. Just walked in the studio, catching up. She has like a red wine color. Oh, should I turn you? Did you want to talk? Did you want to turn this? Hello, sir.
Only when you want me to talk.
just
talk.
Mime.
It looks wonderful.
Doesn't it look cool?
Thank you.
Yeah, what a great color on her.
Thank you.
It's very dramatic.
It's a mix of like magenta, and there's blue in there, and there's purple as well, so...
Yeah.
Dimension.
I was just thinking how I wash my hair every day.
I don't.
You just use soap.
Still thinking.
Yeah. That, yeah. How do you scrub your scalp? What do you?
Is there like the way you're doing it?
But do you use like a face soap for your scalp?
Rubbing her, it's like I think I still do it. I don't do it like in unison.
Is it one alternating?
Not like one.
Is it? Do you oscillate?
Dance move.
Is it wax on, wax off?
I oscillate. I think.
I don't know what that means.
Oscillate. I chamois. I have a chamois.
Oh, do you? Yeah, that's. Do you use a face soap or do you use a? I don't know. I'm curious. I would think that it's your scalp, you don't want to be...
Neck and ear soap, but no face soap.
No face?
No, I use a face soap.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah. I use a...
Cetaphil would be very
you
good.
You know what? I'm going to reveal. I use Old Spice soap, right?
Is that for your face?
Is it Old Spice? No, not Old Spice. Yeah. No. Yeah, no. Old Spice soap. Yep.
Old Spice soap?
God, now you're having me questioning.
I know. I want you, next time you're in your shower, I want you to take a mental note of what you use on your noggin. It's because of the commercials.
Yeah. No, I like it. And your thing is, it lasts pretty good. It's either that or Dial.
Don't use Dial on your
Why
head.
Not?
Or on your face. It's dry because it dries you out.
Aren't I beautiful?
You're stunning. You're stunning, sir.
Thank
yes.
You.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right, then.
I feel beautiful.
Carrying on.
Carry on, sir.
Esmeralda and I just came from a really spectacular shindig at a place called Moonlight Studios.
Oh, wow.
And it was it's a company called HLM that does a lot of like catering and big corporate mm-hmm. events and also parties. And every room was sort of staged with a lot of different sort of really incredible gourmet snacks. Anything from like Esmeralda enjoyed hanging bacon. There was bacon on a clothesline.
Yeah.
Neat.
There's bacon and corn and...
Yeah, but the corn was like in these little cans, but they were plastic cans.
Yeah, they looked like
strange.
The top... They were clear, mm-hmm. but the top was... It looked like a
soda,
tin can.
Yeah, like a soda can.
Was it kind of... But was it like from corn on the cob? Was it...
Yes.
Had it been cut off the
yes.
cob?
To all those things.
It was like a corn salad.
Ooh, mm-hmm. nice.
It was very good. Actually, I'm gonna show you if I can find a picture.
So were different types of bacon?
No, it was just the same. It was like a candied bacon.
Okay. There was pork belly on a stick. This is some of the canned stuff. These are I think the root vegetables.
Yeah.
I didn't take a lot of pictures of the food. I took a picture of my margarita.
You did?
Yeah, I had one little margarita.
Yeah, the margarita was lovely. They had tacos.
Mm-hmm.
And where was this hosted at?
This was at a place called Moonlight Sarah.
Yeah, but where is that located?
It is on Kinsey, 1442. 1446 Kinsey.
Okay.
Over by Kinsey and Ashland. Really stunning place.
Nice.
Really enjoyed it. And they also have the... Have you seen the servers who are on stilts? And they have like the trays sort of hooked to their like... these huge gowns. There was a woman who was on stilts and had the red carpet, like she was wearing a red dress, so it looked like the red carpet was actually emanating from her dress and all the way to the front door. It was pretty spectacular. We were standing on our dress. It was sort of disconcerting. Yeah. It was fabulous. Yeah. And there's a guy on a huge bike who had like this chandelier on the bike with wine glasses that were the globes of the chandelier. And he had wine bottles, and he was also serving wine. There was a woman on the way in who was, the fabrics when women can twirl themselves on the fabrics. She was pouring champagne while hanging upside down. Yeah, that was.
So is this like one of these parties that you say you've been to, right? Yeah. And then people are like, I want to go to that party. You're like, I'm sorry. It's not going to be held for a long time.
Well, that was, I felt badly because
it's like the Forbidden City type of party.
It was kind of. Well, we also felt like we were out, like we didn't belong. Like we were forbidden and somehow had been accidentally dropped into this situation.
Yeah, it's for in the know people.
It was.
Well, you guys are in the know. We are on the radio. And
I was texting, Esmeralda got there first and I was texting her. She said it was kind of a foo-foo party. And
it
I was
looked like, a little foo-foo. I mean, there was a lady pouring champagne
upside down
from some strips of cloth.
Fabric, yeah, from satin.
It's really cool though.
Yeah, and when I got that, I said, well, I'm wearing a jean jacket, and she was like, me too.
Yeah, and I rolled up on my bike. Yeah, and I'm like, hi, where can I park my bike?
Yeah, it was although she could have ridden her bike with the guy with the wine.
I should have gone right in.
What kind of a bike do you have?
It is a Schwinn Collegiate.
Oh, nice.
It's a cruiser.
That is nice. I'm trying to find some of the pictures for the senator so we can see the stunning women with the dresses. See, she's serving. She has platters of desserts off of her dress.
Oh, yeah. One had strawberries.
Was it for a particular charity or was it just...
I think they were promoting...
It was like a launch party.
...building and, you know, to do events there and things like that.
Right. I'm trying to find a better shot. It's not really good radio to show you pictures of stuff while we're on the air.
What did you see there? You were there. You're like, oh, I've always wanted to...
No, we didn't see any celebrities.
There were just people who were
A lot of people in the media, I think. There were a lot of just people who might be, you know, interested in hiring the services of such an organization. It was, I didn't really eat, I didn't get to enjoy very many of the snacks because I went to Great America this morning and that's put my stomach off a little.
I can only imagine.
Griffin had wanted to defeat his hesitation at going on the demon. So that was our goal today because there are a lot of rides we can go on with Declan. Mm-hmm. And Declan's back in school now. Griffin still has a little bit of time. So we decided to go out there and do the rides we can never do when we have Declan with us.
Right.
Which included the demon, the go-karts, and the swings, like the carousel swings. Oh, man. So it was a lot of fun. And it was very light. The crowds were very thin today.
Oh, that's when Great America's at its best. Not that they don't deserve to have great crowds there, but when there's barely anybody there and you don't have to wait in any lines.
So fun.
Yes.
Yeah, it was great.
How many times did you go in the demon?
We only went on once, thankfully, because the harness doesn't really fit me the way I remember it fitting over me. Man. I had a little bit of a struggle. Yeah, I was. It was a snug. It was sort of a snug. I was feeling a little claustrophobic. I was having sort of an anatomical problem. Steve said for him it's because of his height. It was also hitting him in the shoulder. But yeah, and it was also a lot of jostling.
You know Here's the thing. I've always loved roller coasters, mm-hmm. and you know, and there are certain things that I don't enjoy as much, like being on planes. I'm not as big a fan, but roller coasters just awesome, right?
Yeah.
So we go to Universal, but I went on so many roller coasters, I literally had to stay in the hotel for one afternoon because I was so dizzy.
Yeah.
From all the rides,
mm-hmm.
and you know, my son was like, "Come on, Dad, go on all the roller coasters." And I was like, "All right, Coop, we went on everything," and I was, I was dizzy for an entire day.
Yeah.
And I think it's just you're not used to it or something's going on with
equilibrium.
You've shifted. Something has shifted.
Neurologically,
up there. There's a neurological shift.
Yeah, because I used to love the demon. I could go on that.
Yeah, but forever.
I did it once and it was fun. It was fun to do. And they do it now. You can have a virtual reality headgear. So I told Steve and Griffin they could ride again because the lines were like 15 minutes for the demon. But I said, I can't do that. And they also said they couldn't. We did the go-karts and that was fun. And all of that, I've been a little nauseous ever since.
Yeah.
Plus, I had an audition for Chicago Med today, so that it's been a long day. I know. Tomorrow I have an audition for Chicago Fire.
For what's the role?
Oh, the role that I don't know. I don't. They didn't have me sign anything, but I suspect I'm not supposed to. I'm not supposed to share the plot. But it's the role I auditioned for today was a character that has a story arc in a whole episode. So there were six scenes that they had sent over. And it was the most, I was telling Esmeralda that I didn't get all the scenes. And there was an incredibly generous and kind actress in the waiting room who had seen my show before, had seen me do stand-up at Zany's, and told me she really loved it. And I waited a few moments and I'm like, I don't think I got everything I was supposed to. And she filled me in on all the details of the character. And I told her, you don't have to do that. She was like, no, it's fine. And it was really sweet. So thank you, Emily, for helping me out today. She's originally really from Indiana, from Bloomington, Indiana. Moved here 10 years ago and loves living in Chicago.
Oh, excellent.
Except in February.
Did you get a chance to see her act in the
Didn't, but I could tell she's probably going to get it. Yeah. I mean, like, she was, maybe that's why. Maybe she was so confident she didn't, but it was so nice of her. You don't hear that many stories. I've never been in a situation with other actresses, and maybe because I've never asked. I've never seen people ask for help. I, you know what? I have to believe that in Chicago, that's probably not that uncommon. I usually go in there so stressed and like memorizing lines, but this time I was completely in the dark, and she really helped me out.
Same thing happened to me with the modeling job. I was a really handsome guy. He was like, you know,
don't
you
sweat it.
He's like, you got to get your chin up. I turn your, you know, and turn your face off to the side, and I was like, okay, great.
I told.
You think I'll get the job and say, good for you.
Yeah,
good luck.
That's your twinkling blue eyes. Yeah, thank you. Senator, I want to talk to you when we come back about what you guys are up to at ChildServe. I know that school is starting up and you've been getting some backpacks together for the kids.
Been awesome.
Making sure they have everything they need to start the school year off right. So let's find out how we can help ChildServe and kids who need it the most. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and I'm joined by Senator Dan Katowski, who is now the CEO of ChildServe. You can go to ChildServe, childserv.org. They leave the E off.
Because our work is not done.
Because your work is not done. Don't finish that work.
A lot of kids we have to help.
And school has started for some of them?
For some of them. Just it's been wonderful, the response of the community. We have a lot of churches, community groups, businesses that are dropping off backpacks and school supplies for our kids. And when you think about that, if those of you are listening, remember the start of the school year and how anxiety provoking it is. Imagine you're in a new community with a new family and you're just struggling to fit in. And if you walk, you know, you go into the school and, you know, you don't have the right stuff. You don't have a good backpack, you don't have school supplies, you don't have anything, and you know, you just feel out of place, even more so than you did. Or just imagine your family's struggling, you're living in poverty, and you don't have the resources to be able to be as successful as you could be in school.
Right.
And you know, you don't have the paper, ruler, pens, whatever, so you can achieve. So we've had so much of a response. I mean, every day people are dropping off like 50 backpacks, all this paper, all these erasers, pens, pencils, and these school supplies, just great. And it's like, compartments where you could put all your stuff in there, right?
Right. Well, that's the thing is that you're, the way you're describing it too is that there, it's also exciting. You feel important when you have all the tools you need to go to school.
Yes,
you
know? Right.
It does make you feel like, okay, I'm ready to start this.
Right. And it's like the, you know, every year we have our new year where we have our New Year's resolutions, but think about schools, like, you know, all these students out there, these kids, it's their new year.
Yeah.
And they get their planners like, okay, this is the year. You know, I'm going to ace that class. This is the year I'm going to do something. I'm going to join this debate team, or I'm going to join the football team, or I'm going to do something. I'm going to make some friends that I never made before. I mean, this is the year I really, you know, become the person I want to be. And you know, school is such a big deal. And so I've been doing this like hashtag, because people have been so generous, like hashtag people are good. Like at this time, I think we're constantly reminded of everything bad that goes on in the world. But every single day at ChildServe, we have somebody coming through the front doors of our organization and dropping off something, just in taking money out of their own pocket and buying something.
And where can people drop by at your
8765 West Higgins?
8765
West Higgins, Suite 450.
And drop off some backpacks filled with school supplies.
And school supplies. And literally, we have a whole room filled with it. And we have, you know, 1,100 children and families in our early child learning program, 200 plus families in foster care. We have homeless youth. We have all of our kids in our group homes today. We were with an organization called Share the Spirit. And you know what they do? They're going to take our kids out. Tanya from Share the Spirit. She came with Lynn and my good friend Anita. Remember Anita Colvin Barth? They came in. They're going to take our kids out and they're going to buy them new shoes. They're going to take them to Payless and they're going to buy them new shoes.
That's great.
I mean,
that's so exciting. The thrill of that, to have some new
good
kicks.
Yeah, people are good. People are kind.
They are.
Yeah.
For the most part.
For the most part.
Yes.
You know, but you know.
You don't want to hashtag that. You can't do hashtag people are good.
For the
hashtag
most part.
For the most part.
Hashtag depending on the moment.
Depends on what mood you're
hashtag
in.
Not in your neighborhood, but you know, the people are good, and it's nice to see, and it's been it's something that's, I think, for all of us who work there, mm-hmm. The team at Child Surf is just really, it's been very motivating. I think you've seen a lot more smiles on people's faces because, you know, it's a challenging work that we do, but you just see smiles on their faces because people are like, oh, well, there's another person here. There's another church group there. You know, someone just, you know, many people in a building, they just show up and it's like, here, I, you know, Cooper's on a baseball team. And this woman, Kelly's like, oh, bought a bunch of school supplies for your kids. Oh, where should I drop them off at?
Oh, great.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, people, yeah, just, yeah, yeah.
So it's been exciting. It really has.
Oh, that's great. And you're right. I mean, especially with the kids that you serve, with Child Serve, they're coming from experiences that we can't even imagine. You know, the kinds of, the exposure to, whether it's been domestic violence or abandonment or poverty, mm-hmm. or maybe it's been drug abuse in their families.
Right, right.
You know, this is something you can do to help somebody get a better start, move in the direction of feeling like not only do they belong, but they can, their potential will be reached.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And it's a series of things that happen in a person's life to show you that the world cares.
Right.
From your teachers, from, it could be your new foster home that you're in, or it could be the group home you're staying at Child Surf, or quite frankly, the people who are providing the services through Early Childhood Learning Program. It just could be, it's just a certain of gestures and actions in the course of your life. You're like, oh, there are people out there who care about me and want me to succeed and want me to realize my potential and want me to build a better life. And that's what it's all about at Child Surf.
Well, help some kids build a better life. Show them that the world cares. Show them that hashtag people are good. Go to childserve.org and help out, or stop by the office at
8765 West Higgins in Chicago, Suite 450. So
we'll look forward. You know what? I got to stop by.
Yeah.
We haven't shopped for Griffin yet, so I'm going to buy a bag for him and a bag for another child.
Awesome.
And one for Declan and one for another child.
Oh, great.
Let's do that.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, then. I'm just saying that. It's right. One way to do it. Get it done. Yeah, get, right. Hashtag get it done. Hashtag more after this with Senator Dan Katowski when we come back. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by Senator Dan Katowski, who is also the CEO of Child Serve. We were talking a little earlier about how important it is to make sure that kids going off to school have everything they need, in particular kids who come from impoverished backgrounds or challenging backgrounds. And we also know that the first 5 years of a child's life are crucial in the development of their brain, and that will have a significant impact on the rest of their lives. Studies show that children learn more quickly during the early years than any other time of their lives. In particular, children born into poverty begin life at a significant disadvantage, which is why the organization, The Ounce of Prevention, is dedicated to improve the quality of early childhood experiences. Our guest tonight is joining us on the line, and I'm pleased to introduce you to her. She's Fran Gillespie. She's a spokesperson for The Ounce of Prevention organization. She's a writer for Saturday Night Live and has been performing improv and sketch at the Citizens Brigade Theater in L.A. and New York, and she is a native of Chicago. Fran, it's such a pleasure to meet you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
And you're here to tell us how people can help and get involved. First of all, let us ask, how did you get involved with the Ounce of Prevention?
I got involved. I'm a native of Chicago, and one of my dozens of cousins works for Ounce Prevention and got me interested in the organization, and I it's something I care about, and literacy, and people who in inner city Chicago who maybe are at risk is something I think is super important. And so I felt motivated to help and do whatever I could to, have there be some awareness. And I thought it was important, I suppose.
Where did you grow up, Fran? I know it says here Chicago, but, you know, we live by neighborhoods.
Yes, I know, totally. Well, this is one of those things where I'm going to say where I grew up.
It's okay.
Like, That's not really Chicago.
It is, Fran. It's okay. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Wilmette.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wilmette's a great community.
Oh, it's the best community, but it really depends who you talk to. Like, if I talk to someone from Naperville and I'm like, I'm from Wilmette, they're like, oh, okay. But if I talk to someone from, like, you know, Rogers Park, and I say, well, Matt, they're like, well, is that Chicago? And I'm like, yeah, I think so.
Senator Katowski is actually from Rogers Park originally.
Yeah, that's what we used to do.
I know. I'm beyond that, though. No, I don't do that anymore.
Where did you go to high school, Fran?
I went to New Trier High School.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I went to Loyola, but you'd meet people that I said, where, you know, and so I went to U of I, as Patty did, but Patty went to school much later. I mean, recently, she's a recent graduate. So, but she, we were, you'd meet people, like, where are you from? They're like, oh, I'm from Chicago. I'm like, where? They'd say, well, Wilmette. I'm like, no, that's not Chicago. I'm from Rogers Park. So I was really obnoxious about that. So it's funny that you cited Rogers Park.
I feel bad that people from the suburbs flinch before they tell us where they're from.
Like, for example, Rogers Park.
Fran, you studied in New York. You left Chicago to go to school at NYU. Did we lose Fran? Oh no, we lost Fran. She got tired of your story.
What? Was that long?
She was like, he's from Rogers Park.
Did you really stop the Rogers Park? I thought I escaped it when I became famous.
We don't even know how much of that she heard. You know, and I've always told you that the trick to hanging up on somebody is to do it while you're talking, not while they're talking. Hey, Fran, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Sorry.
So hurtful, Fran.
No, I'm sorry. I'm calling from Los Angeles, and they don't like us to talk to anyone that has a solid head on their shoulders.
Oh, dear.
They'll kind of be listening in and making sure that you're not, like, gaining brain cells or anything.
Wow. That's fantastic. Where in L.A. do you live?
I live currently on the east side of L.A. in Los Feliz.
Okay.
And so you're from Rogers Park and went to Loyola, but do you have that attitude towards, like, north suburbs kind of people where it's like...
He did.
You missed the longest story. I just told
her. I told her. I told her she hung up because it was so dull.
I said I was one of those obnoxious people from Rogers Park.
And when I was at U of I was the same way, Fran. People would tell me they were from, you know, Schaumburg or something.
Yeah, you're like...
But now, here's part of it, Fran, is that you know what? The suburbs have all the parking, so I don't begrudge them anything.
They do. That's why my wife... You know, she's like, I'm not staying in the city. Parking's terrible.
Well, did you study a sketch and improv in Chicago?
I moved to New York when I was 18, but my parents still live in, my parents now live in South Evanston, almost Rogers Park. But so when I was growing up going to New Trier, I would like take Second City, like, teen classes, you know,
right,
that they offered, which were incredible. And I also took classes at Piven, which is in Evanston.
Of course.
And that's a pretty amazing program they have there. And then I moved to New York when I was 18 and started performing at the Upright Citizens Brigade. And the founders of the Upright Citizens Brigade actually started at Improv Olympic in Chicago. So that's Amy Poehler, Matt Walsh, Matt Besser, and Ian Roberts. And then they moved to New York and started the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in New York. And so that is the real community where I got really into sketch and improv and dedicated pretty much every waking hour from the time I was 18 till, at least 10 years. And then I moved to L.A., and there's an Upright Citizens Brigade in L.A. So that was definitely my, like, training ground for sketch and improv and performing and everything like that. But in Chicago, anytime I went back, I would go to Second City or IO. I still do to this day. They actually just moved. IO just moved. But it's like I can't believe how many incredible performing opportunities Chicago has, especially in terms of comedy. I mean, it's the home of comedy. So it's always great to go back. People, like, complain about visiting their parents on Thanksgiving. I'm like, oh, no, no. Going to Chicago is like, there's no complaints on my end.
That's wonderful. And I love that you've continued this connection with the community in Chicago and the state of Illinois by being a part of the Ounce of Prevention organization. And, you know, as a sketch comic, I don't think people realize when they think of sketch artists or improv comics, they think they're just kind of making things up. But that depends a lot on when we're talking about literacy, in particular in this instance, that it is crucial to have access to just a broad range of experiences that really would probably start in childhood.
I 1,000% agree. I mean, you are who you are because of how you grew up. And I grew up in a big Irish Catholic family. I have more cousins than I can truly name. But I had just a big family. And it was like, if you wanted people to notice you, you definitely had to speak up. And so at a very early age, I developed a thirst for attention and was like always kind of, you know, performing and was always into comedy and stuff like that. But then I think that it throughout life, just having a range of experiences really, really helps in terms of sketch and improv, because, you know, you can't have like a limited purview, because then you'll only have access to those experiences. So you kind of want to have, you know, you want to have a life, which right. is everybody does. But I think it's like the most helpful thing in the world to have different kinds of friends and go different types of places and watch different types of TV. And I mean, I think read different types of books. Like, it all adds to just getting a bigger scope of the world. So you have more to talk about, really.
Right. I agree. And that's part of what, you know, we're going to talk in a few moments about this movement, Share Your Words, mm-hmm. hashtag right. Share Your Words. And that is, you know, when it comes to children who are born into poverty, one of the ways that you can expand their world is through books.
Right.
You know, I mean, and hopefully that leads them to, the, you know, having access to a life where they can travel and have all different kinds of experiences. But it does yeah. start early on.
Yeah, I was just...
Yeah, absolutely. Like, me growing up in Chicago with a big family, we drove everywhere. We weren't, like, taking, you know, these lavish trips. It was like we drove to Wisconsin, Minnesota, Indiana, and, you know, even just taking trips like that. But also, it completely starts with what you have access to, which, if that's, like, a newspaper, books, but the thing that is free is just talking to people, talking to your family, being like interested in other people, I think is really important.
Yes.
Wanting to learn about other people's experiences. And I think that because of the way I grew up in Chicago and with a family that was interesting and always talking, I will say that the most important thing, and I don't have kids, but something I will force us to do is eat dinner together, because I think that is maybe the most important thing you can do as a family, is make sure no matter what that you sit down and have dinner together for like a half hour. I think that's like the way you get to know your family. So I think that's important.
I agree. Yeah. Although, Senator Gutowski, if I sat down with you every day, it would probably make me crazy. Your wife's...
I'm kidding. I was just talking...
You heard Fran hang up in the middle of your dull story.
I can't believe that. So I was talking to one of our home educators. We have an early childhood learning program at ChildServe, and we partner with the Ounce of Prevention. The Ounce of Prevention provides us with a lot of training. And the home educator I was talking to, Maricela, today, she was at the home of a child with this early childhood learning program for kids ages 0 to 3. Parent empowerment program. And she was talking about making sure that the parent engages their child in conversation and dialogue and exposure to words. And that was our conversation today, because the whole idea is kindergarten readiness, to make sure kids are able to reach developmental milestones. She said, well, the great thing about this kid is that she talks constantly. And then the whole idea was making sure that the mom has a lot of challenges, who's working, but also is struggling to make ends meet, understands the importance of that kind of engagement,
right.
and that kind of exposure to words and stories and, just access to educational materials. So she was there today. She was just telling me how the visit went and what the result of it was. So what you're talking about just really resonates, because that's the impact that you're seeing at a very early age. And that lasts. There's that project of like 30 million words. You've heard about that,
mm-hmm.
where, with kids, the more words they're exposed to, the smarter they are, the better they can think, the more critically advanced they are. So it's wonderful work the Ounce of Prevention is doing. And what you're doing as a spokesperson is just great.
Yeah, I think that there's nothing more frustrating than wanting to express a thought and not having the word. I mean, we have, Google now, so we can look up synonyms and whatever. But, like, just in a conversation, to not have words at your fingertips, there maybe is some... It really can be very flustering. It can just be... but it's frustrating. And so I think that talking and having a relationship with your family where you're always kind of like able to communicate, which is hard being Irish Catholic, because I think maybe you're born unable to communicate, but really pushing past those feelings where you can't talk about stuff and just being like, this is what happened today, whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's important.
I am so excited that you're participating in this and are the spokesperson for the Ounce of Prevention. It's theounce.org, and everyone can go check it out. In just a moment, Fran's going to tell us how you can take a part in a really fun way online. Hold on one second, Fran. Do you mind one more segment?
Yeah.
Wonderful. More after this with Fran Gillespie. After, just a couple of words like this. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by State Senator Dan Katowski, now CEO of ChildServe, helping children get the best out of life early on. And we also have on the line with us Fran Gillespie, who is a spokesperson for the Ounce of Prevention. And she's going to tell us, she's a writer for Saturday Night Live. She's also a performer with the Upright Citizens Brigade in New York and Los Angeles. And tell us how people can do something kind of fun to be involved with this.
So through the Ounce Prevention to gain awareness for quality early learning for at-risk kids in Chicago, just in terms of, like, encouraging people to raise literacy in at-risk areas. There's this campaign called Share Your Words. So it's hashtag Share Your Words, and it's just videos where you share a word that means something to you, that elicits an emotion in you, a word that you kind of get excited about, to kind of spread vocabulary and the importance of words and just kind of highlight how knowing words can be it's so crucial and important.
What was your word that you did for your video?
Okay.
Yes.
My word is dessert.
Ooh, I like that.
It's so weird to think of one word that's, it's like, how can I think of one word that's important? But I chose dessert because growing up, as I said, I'm from a big family, and we would eat dinner together every single night. And then very early on, I learned how to spell, because instead of posing the question, do we have dessert, the adults would spell it.
Oh.
So I learned, and I learned that dessert was D-E-S-S-E-R-T, because my parents would be like, and do we have any D-E? And I was like, oh, yes. We will. I learned very early on how to spell, because it was important to know that word and be able to participate in that conversation.
Oh, my God.
I love this. They set a goal for you.
Well,
spell it so you can have it.
Yeah, I had it. I grew up, my mom grew up in a huge Irish family. Six sisters total and one brother, and a bunch of them were teachers, and you're constantly provided the accurate information about your grammar, right?
Oh.
So you'd have to say, like, oh, you mean to whom?
Oh, no.
You know, yes. So the same, and my grandfather taught too. So, you know, you couldn't end any sort of a sentence with a preposition.
At the end.
Although who are you going with?
They've changed the rules on that. So.
You still can't. They would say, no, rules haven't changed.
Well, Senator, what's your word?
Ideogram.
Ideogram.
Yeah.
Whoa, I don't even know what that means.
It's a symbol which communicates
Something
without the sound. It's like I just learned the word today. I read it in the poem of the day. An ideogram was used. That word was used. So it's like, you know, when you see the sort of like a Chinese symbol, it communicates something without communicating an actual sound.
Wow.
Whoa.
How about that?
I like that.
That's too smart.
Yeah.
That is a little too
That's
smart.
That's right. Yeah. That's Rogers Park.
Now I feel embarrassed that my word was dessert.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, don't be embarrassed. No.
Thanks for hanging up the phone on me.
I think more people pick your word over ideogram. Although as noble and important as ideogram is, I think we can all partake in
Isn't
dessert with Fran.
Isn't that obnoxious to do that?
No. It's delightful.
Believe me, I'm glad I learned something new. I hope someone out there learned the word dessert tonight.
There you go.
Well,
exactly.
I learned how to spell it, so thank you,
yes.
Fran.
Yes.
I always spell it like desert, so desert. That would happen for me.
Yeah. Mine is more appealing than the other.
Exactly, yeah. Mine would be justice.
Justice.
Oh,
yeah. Now there you go.
Yeah,
that's sanctimonious.
It's not sanctimonious,
awesome.
No, because
no.
I'm so, I like every little, like even little,
justice.
In like slights to people who I think are sort of, you know, someone does something mean to them. I have such this urge for them to get their comeuppance when they're mean or intolerant, or I just can't. So that's mine.
That's
justice.
A really
that's a
good
great word.
Word.
Justice. Nobody's going to use ideogram.
No one's going to. Now they might.
No, it's not going to happen.
I mean, I'll use it because I'll say I heard the word ideogram today.
And she'll have an ideogram for dessert.
Ideogram for dessert.
Wait,
just a simple,
I'm
right?
Not sure that's appetizing.
The ideogram will be Fran happy with a sundae in front of her.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I took a risk.
So this is now people can go to Twitter and social different forms of social media to do hashtag share your words.
That's right. Yep. Or post on Instagram a video or anything to participate so you can spread the message because it's really important that literacy be encouraged, especially for kids in Chicago that might need that encouragement. It's just worth it.
Well, I want to thank you so much. And everybody can go to theounce.org/share your words. And Fran, you mentioned that you come home for Thanksgiving. We'd love to have you in studio that week if you happen to have time to come by the Tribune Tower.
Let's do Thanksgiving Day, baby.
Oh, don't tease us because I do my show on Thanksgiving night, and everyone we do a second Thanksgiving, everyone brings their leftovers from their celebrations. And we have a band in studio. We're going to have drinks and food. So if you really want to do that, we'd love to have
really
you.
Fun. Wonderful. I would love to come.
That's Fran Gillespie from Saturday Night Live. She's a writer, and we'll talk about that next time because we didn't have enough time with you.
Oh well, I will come on Thanksgiving.
Fran,
I'll bring dessert.
Fantastic! I didn't mean to do that. It's fantastic. Thank you so much, Fran. It was a pleasure to meet
you. Guys.
And thank you for
nice
all the hard work you do with that ounce of prevention. All right, now we have a quick break before the news. Or yes, we'll do this real quick.
I've still got a lot of fight left in me.
Who's that? Which one? You can leave it playing. Who?
It's supposed to be Hillary?
No, it's supposed to be them singing about Hillary, I think, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Should have a Justin Timberlake song. See, they had a big fundraiser at his place.
So about bringing sexy back? Is that what you wanted to...
is it a Katy Perry? It's a Katy Perry
song. Yeah.
Can't believe I just did that.
You know a lot of music. It doesn't.
Thank you.
There's no judgment.
No judgment. In a judgment-free zone.
There's a little bit of judgment.
I believe I heard that might be a Katy Perry song.
So it was a big, big week. You guys were talking off the air, much to my displeasure.
And you hushed us.
Yes,
you were hushed.
So. I had displeasure, Esmeralda, with my guests.
What?
Yes, they were these two.
Smackdown, a Petty Vasquez smackdown.
I said, save it for the air. Now they feel like they've been chastised and they won't talk anymore.
Yeah, we have hurt feelings.
Hurt feelings.
Back at the class.
So the rule is we no longer talk about Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump on a daily basis. I do look at the Facebook page for WGN Radio, and as much as I actually, it's partly in response to, I think people are it's oversaturating the day, right? Partly the news, conversations, you know, if you're out to eat or you're on the bus or you get in a cab, I mean, everyone's talking about it. Actually, on the way here, I took a ride from our event at Moonlight Studios, and our Uber driver was listening to me and Sarah Tymon talk about the campaign, and he said the reason he's from Colombia. He said he doesn't care that he's racist. He doesn't care that he's anti-Muslim. He doesn't care about all that. What bothered him the most was when Donald Trump made fun of someone who was disabled. So that was interesting to me, but it was even in the conversation with our Uber driver. But he said he wasn't sure if he liked Hillary. He didn't know who to vote for. So I think there are a lot of people who are still up in the air. There are those who are never going to change their minds. They get angry at radio shows like this because they think we're leaning one way or the other. I will very clearly tell you that I am very much against a Donald Trump presidency. I am not a journalist. I have no obligation to be unbiased, and neither does Scott Stantis.
No, I'm a commentator. I get to.
We're commentators.
I'm commentating.
And Senator Dan Katowski, would you like to? You don't have to voice your opinion one way or the other, but we appreciate when you do.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. So you guys were saying off the air that Hillary had a very big week, bad week. I
she had a very bad, very, big, very
bigly
bad,
bad
week.
Week.
Yeah.
Well, how bad is bad?
I think that if you look at the polls, Trump is back to within 4 or 5, depending on Real Clear Politics Amalgam. I think today was 4 or 4.5
and
points.
She had stretched it out to almost 8 at
one
point.
It was almost 10 in some. It was crazy. And now all of a sudden we're back to the emails. The AP reported that over 50% of people who visited her as Secretary of State apparently had donated to the Clinton Foundation. So that's bad. The emails continue to be released. And now what? The State Department's saying what? They're going to release 15,000. Gosh knows what's going to come through those.
Real quickly, let's listen to Hillary Clinton on Jimmy Kimmel talking about briefly about her emails.
Are you enjoying being a grandparent?
It is the best, Jimmy.
Do you wish you had more time that this campaign didn't coincide with the kids being so little?
Well,
right
I
now?
Think I'd be distraught if we didn't have FaceTime. I really
do that a lot?
All the time. You know,
have you considered using FaceTime instead of email?
Actually, I think that's really good
not
advice.
A bad idea.
See, and it's funny, right? And so the audience claps and we laugh at it too. But I mean, do we? If people are so angry about the emails, should she be joking about it?
Sure.
Or okay, so that's a way to sort of
smart.
Disengage.
That's
it?
Just smart. Okay. I think that's a better response than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've made Scott and I. They've talked a lot, and Patty and I've talked about my position. I support Secretary Clinton, but I thought her response was wholly inadequate this week in terms of just saying that. Well, there's smoke, but there's no fire about these emails. I mean, I don't know what that response means.
Well, is it a culture in Washington D.C. of because when people hate it when you go, well, they did it. Why can't they do it? Why can't I? I was speaking about this last night when we talked so much about these emails. I don't remember there being this much uproar when almost 5 million emails went missing between 2003 and 2006 when President Bush was trying to take out some of the federal judges who weren't carrying out his agenda. And over the course of the 8 years while he was in office, 22 million emails went missing. A lot of them didn't come back. But I'm just curious as to, is her attitude in sort of reflection of that, knowing all of that, knowing how bad it actually is in that hemisphere, and the rest of us going, well, oh, but yours, the third, your 45,000.
Yeah, I know.
Is it the culture of getting rid of emails?
And I think part of the challenge here is the response. And you just, like, for example, it took her a while, and I think she's a protective person and guarded person, and that is not lending itself to a positive interaction with the press on this one. And I think it took her a while to say, look, that was just a mistake. I shouldn't have done it. It was a mistake. And I think she would just repeatedly say, it was a mistake.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah, thank you for asking. It was a mistake.
No, thank you for asking.
Absolutely. And I think it's because I think that's essentially what people in America are, in our country, are very forgiving, particularly our public officials, when they're like, yeah, you're right. I could have used better judgment on that. And it was a mistake. And when she does that, it's a very powerful thing. It deflates the situation. And like, it runs counter to what her opponent does and how his sort of pseudo attempts at apologies and things like that. So
saying there's smoke but no fire is more of a haughty response rather than a genuine.
It's not a response at all. Again, the arc of this thing, if they had done what Dan just said, which is smart and honest, by the way, which is, hey, listen, I screwed up, man. I thought they were going to be segregated. I thought there was going to be private and public, and I mixed them, and it was wrong. Hey, man, my bad. I take it. Instead, it was, I didn't do this. Well, it turns out you did. Well, I didn't know they were top secret. Well, it turns out you did. Well, they weren't marked top secret. Well, it turns out they were. It's just like,
well, some were marked and then they were reclassified.
Well, and I think it's just, yeah, I think.
I mean, that's something that I can't understand why.
And they reclassified him after the fact. And a lot of this is like process stuff. But the basic way, and I think the best press advice I would give to anybody who's running for office, just if it doesn't look right, even if a part of you that said, well, look at this, what I did. But if it just doesn't look right, you're like, you know what? I got some bad advice, or I this wasn't the best decision. And, I would have done it differently. And I think there's something very positive about that, and it deflates the situation. So I follow this very intensely, mm-hmm. and I follow the response of the campaign, and I as someone who supports her, I'm struggling with it right now, because here's the deal, like a very simple response of someone say, well, we've had meetings with people from the Clinton Foundation. Well, okay, well, yeah, here's people providing support to try and eradicate AIDS in Africa, right? And they wanted to meet with the secretary, and then happens, people try and have meetings, and they try and have meetings all the time. And the thing is, as an elected official, I was an elected official for 9 years, and there are people who gave contributions to my campaign who want to have meetings with me, and there are people who didn't who want to have meetings with me, and people met. People could say, well, Dan, these contributors had meetings with you, but the whole point is, like, what was the byproduct and what happened,
right,
as a result of those meetings?
I was telling you earlier, my husband was laughing because I'm a big fan of Indigo Girls, and the only time I've ever stood in line was to get their autograph for anybody. I've never wanted to get someone's autograph, and Steve came with me, and we both bought albums that they signed, and he goes, I bought an album so I could meet them and stand in line and waited to see them. He goes, but afterwards they didn't like write a song about me. It didn't have any. There was no product from it.
No quid pro quo with the Indigo Girls.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a similar experience in some of these situations where it's like, yeah, you get to meet someone, you get to tell people, hey, I met Hillary Clinton. know.
Yeah, but this again, this the smell test on this thing. I mean, you know, like I said, the number is also kind of jarring. I mean, I would imagine that I wouldn't guess. I could be wrong, but when you were a state senator, that more than 50% of people who met with you were contributors. I would guess that. But what it smells like is also is what they paid for was access, and like you and I could not walk up and call up the State Department when she was there and say, I want to have a sit down with Secretary Clinton. I mean, that wouldn't have happened under normal circumstances. That's what this smells like, and that's why it's one of those moments and one of those kind of Clinton-esque things. You know, you talk about she doesn't have to do half the stuff she does. I mean, going back to the emails.
No, I don't really think she doesn't have to do it. I think the whole thing is like, you know, look, and people tried to reach out and tried to meetings, and, you know, they went through the channels, and yeah, I guess she could acknowledge that, yeah, they gave to the foundation, and they were trying to provide support to eradicate AIDS in Africa and do things like that, and they ended up having meetings with me. But, I mean, that happens, and that's a very honest response in politics. But here's the thing. In Springfield, I was the chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee. Sometimes I would have meetings with 25 different people a day, right? 25 different groups, different organizations. And I'd be meeting to like, that's just down at Springfield. I would be down there 4 days a week. That's 100, you know, meetings a week. And if you've ever been in like my office, I literally have like people just waiting outside. You would actually think that I had an important position, but people wanted to talk to you.
Appropriations is pretty damned important.
I know, but people would wait for you. I mean, the thing is, I say that more for my wife if she was listening than I actually had. But the point is, it's like, you know, that there, I met with like 100 people a week in different groups, and over a course of, you know, 5 months, when you think about that, I mean, like thousands of people that you're meeting with, and it's like, well, she okay had 85 meetings with people, and I think there's a way to kind of communicate this and not make it seem like as if, you know, you're trying to be elusive.
Yeah, but I hate to jump. But knowing you the way I know you, and we've gotten to know each other fairly well over the last because of this great show. But I would bet that the lion's share of those groups were things like the Epilepsy Foundation, Cystic Fibrosis, other groups.
I've been in the hallways. You got to come down with me to Springfield. There's everybody down there. There's you know, rifle associations. There's bankers. There's, you know, property. Right. I mean,
there's people who hate me. Right now, there's people who, or there are people who are their businesses. People who want to do business, like moving into Illinois, their new corporation, or someone looking for a tax break. There's all sorts of people who are coming in. Small
and the
businesses.
Lobbyists. You got to hang out with the lobbyists, Scott.
It's really like, it's an extraordinary thing. And it's the greatest university in the world because you get to meet so many different people. But, I mean, I think there's this whole idea of that it doesn't lend itself to a positive resolution if you just don't like come out in front and be like, you know what? I think people want a straightforward response. That's what they want.
We have a listener on the line because we're talking about all the things that people say that you know, make them angry about Hillary, the emails. We're talking about the Clinton Foundation. But Jerry has something to say about Donald Trump. Hi, Jerry. How are you doing?
Hi. How are you tonight?
Very well. What do you want to tell us?
Well, I just wanted to say that I've heard for the last, you know, 20 years since the Clintons have been in on the political spectrum here, all kinds of stuff said about them. And I think that's like, you know, then we hear all kinds of stuff about Donald Trump, you know, and how I feel is, who do I want to be in control of my, of what happens in case of a war or whatever? I want Clinton. And I get really you know, I really want to talk about it, but I get too agitated talking about it. I just wanted to pass that on to you.
Well, thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that. It sounds like you've taken it to heart and want people to know that there are people on both sides of this. Thank you so much, Jerry. Have a good night.
Oh, people have taken this election to heart. And I think you're right. I don't know what the numbers are right now. I'm not sure what undecideds are, but I suspect there's a pretty deep pool of them right now.
I think so, too.
But the ones who aren't undecided, holy Mary, Mother of God, have they made their decision.
They're very angry.
Yes.
But we're not angry. We're just having a conversation.
No. And this is the greatest thing about being on your show, in addition to hanging out with you all the time, Patty and Scott. But the fact is, you can have a civil conversation about this election if you want to. It's a choice.
Sure.
It's a choice. And you could say, okay, you can move that stuff to the side. And like, you want to talk about the policies. You want to talk about the plans for the future. Because there's more than ample evidence on throughout this election to talk about flaws in Canada. People are always flawed who run for office, and you will find a lot of flaws if you look for them, and you'll find them every day, and they're revealed through the course of all sorts of things. This is, you know, so anyways, this is a good
thing. You bring up a good point that we talked about last night. Let's take a break here and find out what else Hillary said this week. More on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It is Thursday night. This is the only night of the week that we talk about Hillary Clinton. And I guess, you know, back and forth on Wednesdays and Thursdays, let's put it that way, we talk about the election. And we talk about Hillary on Thursdays, Donald Trump on Wednesdays. There's going to be a little bit of crossover. You can't talk about one without the other. But the rest of the week, we just talk about how we're going to talk about it.
Right.
And we've had a conversation tonight about some of the things that have come up this week. It's been a bad week. Her numbers are dropping in the polling, and she's not addressing her email issues. Let's see what else. There was I know she had a rally today. I was trying to find things. She's not really saying too much for us to pick and, you know, sort of talk about, but let's see what else she said here.
He hired Stephen Bannon, the head of a right-wing website called Breitbart.com, as the campaign CEO. Now, to give you a flavor of his work, here are a few headlines they've published. And I'm not making this up. Birth control makes women unattractive and crazy. Would you rather your child had feminism or cancer? Gabby Giffords, the gun control movement's human shield.
Yikes. Now, the thing about that is those are the kinds of clips that I could find that people are sort of splicing and putting on the internet. You know, so she's going after the people he's brought into his campaign. And rather than kind of authentically and genuinely responding to the attacks about her emails. And, you know, because the response you get is like, oh, you know, is that necessarily a rallying point, is to say, look at the jerks that he's hiring in his campaign? Is that policy? Is that what she's going to do? Is that about?
Well, she's there's two responses to that. Number one, she's making the case, right? And she's been making the case for a while. And I think everything is fair game in an election. The pivot point comes to when you start talking about, in which she did an excellent job in the convention, talking about her plans for the future of the country.
Right.
And so, I mean, on a daily basis, you figure out, like, are you responding to this? And there are attacks that are coming after her on a daily basis. So the question is, do you let, and Scott and I were just talking off the air, do you let attacks that are coming after her, you know, about what's been going on right now, do you just let them happen, or do you go back on the attack?
Right.
And so that's always a dicey proposition. And I think some people are like, well, I should just wait and just lay out the case. But it's very hard when you're, as a candidate, when you're kind of getting beat up and you're not responding.
So deflecting is
coming back, and you know, you're completely entitled in the course of a campaign to take a shot back.
What do you think?
Well, first off, the comments you just played were, I mean, that's legitimate. These are the people he's going to hire. This is what his White House is going to look like. Okay, I get that. I'm going to really just, the numbers are going to go through the roof. Are you ready? Because I'm going to talk about Calvin Coolidge. And that's always great radio.
Yes, no, that's awesome. If you could do a little Garfield, that would be awesome too.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, look, you know what? We got to take a break. You go ahead and hold that. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm joined by Senator Dan Katowski and the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis. Many of you know that I grew up on the northwest side of Chicago. I grew up in Norwood Park. I now live in Jefferson Park. My husband hates that I keep telling people that.
Why?
I'm like, come meet me at the Gale Street Inn. He doesn't like people to know where we live. That's all. And the last few years, I've had the pleasure of hanging out with the folks from the Chicago Fringe Festival. They're celebrating their 7th year, and they have over 12 days, 47 companies will gather in Jeff Park, including the return of Kids Fringe and special events. Joining us in studio is Tristan from Tap Man Productions. Is that accurate? I want to make sure I've got all everyone's introductions.
That is correct.
Hello. I can't see you, Tristan, and I apologize for that. Let me see if I can just do that.
It's okay. I've got a face for radio.
We are. Oh, no, it's not true. We have Kate, who is the director of operations. Is that for Tapman, and also a performer. I heard someone saying back there. And Ann, I can't pull up your introduction fast enough. I'm going to do it. I promise. I've got it. Ann Cawley, who is the executive director of Chicago Fringe Festival. That's so right. Welcome, everybody, to the studio. You didn't know there'd be a senator. Don't worry. There's nothing to... He's He's not currently in office, so we all just disregard him completely.
Since the scandal, I've lost a lot of.
So, Anne, tell us a little bit about this year's Fringe Festival.
Sure. We're really thrilled to be back in Jefferson Park. This is our fourth festival in Jefferson Park, and we really feel like we found a home there in the neighborhood. We're going to be doing, like you said, 47 shows in 5 venues. It's a very walkable festival, everything in 2 blocks. Mm-hmm. And all of the shows are an hour and $10. So you can really come for a day and see 3, 4, 5 totally different shows.
I was there last year because one of my favorite comics had a show. Will Durst performed with Fringe Fest last year. And you have, it's everything from improv, is it improv sketch and like monologist like that? Or
it runs the gamut. This year we have tap dancing. Mm-hmm. We have magic shows. We have puppets. We have storytelling. We have music, dance, whatever you want.
Whatever you want. Now I know there's a menu. We could tell them whatever we want.
There's a CrossFit stage too.
Don't tease me. Well, there is a Tapman Productions. Tristan, tell us a little bit about your performance.
My name is Tristan Bruins. I'm the artistic director of Tapman Productions. I am a tap dance American. We're doing the Traveling Tap Dance Super Show.
Chicago Tap Dance.
It is in Chicago. It is a tap dance, and it is a super show. we've done this show at fringe festivals all over the country, and this is actually our first time in Chicago. We never make it in Chicago.
Oh, really?
It's so competitive to kind of get in.
But you're from Chicago.
Yeah, we're from Chicago. We've done all the other ones except the Chicago one.
No home turf advantage there, I guess.
No, they're unfortunately very fair.
Okay.
About how they pick their people.
And as long as you don't hold a grudge. You're not a grudge holder, are you?
No, it's all right.
Look at that terse lips. Do you tap dance, Senator? Because I've always wanted to tap dance.
I've not. I've attempted it at weddings.
You pretend.
Well, I don't know if it's much of a pretend, but there's an effort there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Tristan, what drew you to tap dance?
Oh, it's easy.
It's easy.
It's incredibly, incredibly easy. It's very straightforward. Pick up
Kate
right
would disagree
foot.
With you. Anne, would you say that tap dancing is easy?
I mean, the people who are good at it make it look easy.
Exactly.
Okay, well, here's what you do.
Yeah, Fred Astaire would have loved to have heard you say it's easy. And Gene Kelly.
Well, here's what you do. If you make a mistake, as long as you can repeat that mistake exactly on the left foot, then you can tell people you did it on purpose. Easy. Piece of cake.
I don't even know what to say to that. My mind is blown.
Yeah, that's like a Zen.
It is a Zen.
It applies to everything in life.
Make the same mistake again. Repeat the mistake.
And then it's on purpose. Then you meant to do it.
Try that with my children.
I meant to do that. Watch me do it again.
Watch Daddy do that again. Daddy's a big idiot.
Did you study all forms of dance? Are you modern dance, ballet?
Oh, yes. I grew up studying every type of dance that I could find. Mm-hmm. And what I found through that journey is that I'm no good at the other kinds of dance. Right? I'm just no good. I cannot get my leg above like a 20-degree angle. Mm-hmm.
Why is Anne nodding? Anne seems to, she's nodding as though, yeah, no, I've seen him. He can't do anything higher. I love that.
Leave that to me.
So, Kate, where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio.
Can you come closer? I know that I asked you before, but I don't know why that mic is so low.
It's on, right? Have I got it plugged? Can you hear
her? Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can now. Okay. Yes. I'm sorry, you're originally from Ohio?
Originally from Cleveland, yeah. Mm-hmm. Moved to Chicago after I graduated college just because the dance scene in Cleveland is a little small and I wanted some more opportunities. So. Oh,
wonderful. Yeah. And what was your special? What is your specialty?
I'm a modern dancer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So usually without shoes.
Yes. Which is, was scary when we first started working together.
Why scary?
We combined tap and modern dance together. So he'll tap dance and I'll do modern dance.
Okay.
And I was a little afraid for my toes.
Yeah, I can imagine. There's a lot of quick
movement. But now I don't even think
movement.
About it.
Okay. Did he step on your toes?
No. Excellent. He has not.
Just figuratively.
That is, again, speaking of Gene Kelly, a scene in Singing in the Rain when he dances with Sid Charisse.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's my favorite scene. I'm sorry.
I love her legs. I wish
what?
I had them.
What are you looking at me like that? I can't see Singing in the Rain.
No, I love that movie.
I do too. Just saying.
I've never heard you say Sid Charisse before.
All right, then. I did now. Want me to say Ann Miller? Does that help? No, I agree. I always long to have long legs like Sid Charisse. Mm-hmm. You and I do not have the long legs, but we carry ourselves with confidence.
Yeah, we can dream.
So for this performance in Fringe Fest, first of all, when are you performing?
performances. We are September 3rd, September 9th, and September 11th.
Excellent. And Anne, where can people find out information about all the performances?
They can go to www.chicagofringe.org to learn more about all 47 shows.
And what is the process for choosing shows?
We actually...
You don't start with not Chicago shows first.
No, we actually use a lottery system.
Okay.
Because we felt like Chicago really... The role that we play in Chicago is providing an equal opportunity to all artists. There are so many great curated festivals in the city, and that is wonderful. But sometimes in order to get into the curated festivals, to get those opportunities, you need the first chance.
Right.
So that's what we do. If you want to try out a new work, if you want to try something innovative, new, it might work, it might not work. You need a place to take a risk, and that's what Fringe is about. So we use a lottery system. Half the shows are local and half are non-local.
Oh, great. So you sort of divided up that way first.
We divided up, and then we do sub-lotteries to ensure a diverse variety of voices. So 25% mm-hmm. are guaranteed to be over 65 or under 18, to be racially diverse or diverse according to abilities. And then we guarantee that at least 5 shows will be family-friendly because the rest of the shows are uncensored. So anything goes.
Anything can happen at those shows. So they can go to the website and find out which shows would be appropriate for their families.
Absolutely.
And do you have people who've been to, like, let's say they went to the first Fringe Fest 7 years ago. Have people been inspired by what they saw to submit then in the months afterwards?
Absolutely. One of my favorite stories was a volunteer who came our second year, and he helped out, and he just loved it. He had never performed before. He had no idea that the opportunity was out there. He had just lost his wife, and he applied and he wrote a show about his wife and his grieving process, and it was a very personal kind of cathartic process for him. It was really lovely.
That is lovely.
Yeah,
you'll see it's a wide range of performances. Again, the shows start on August 31st and run through September 11th, and tickets have already gone on sale. Entrance to Chicago Fringe Festival, called Chicago's Best Performing Arts Festival by the Chicago Reader, is a one-time button purchase. So you can buy a button purchase, and what does that do for you?
So we return 100% of the ticket sales back to the artists. So the $5 comes to us. Every patron pays $5, a one-time fee, and that comes to the festival to help pay for the lights and the venues and all of that good stuff. And then each show is $10, and that goes directly to the artists.
And you can also buy a 4-show pass for $36, a 10-show pass for $80, and an unlimited pass over the entire 2 weeks of performances for $175. And each venue will have a box office, so you can buy tickets the day of the performance. Yes. But you can also go online and purchase tickets there, which is at chicagofringe.org. Yes. And we're excited because I believe we've set up, Adam, are we good to go for Tristan to dance in just a moment? So we're going to have go to WGNradio.com. And those of you listening, I mean, TAP is great to hear as well. So we look forward to hearing Tristan dance. When we come back, we are talking to the good folks from the Fringe Festival. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, having fun with our guests. We have our Thursday night regulars, Senator Dan Katowski, who is also the CEO of ChildServe and helping kids reach their potential, making sure they get the best start. And right now, making sure that they get their best start as school starts. And you can help him out, help those kids out by donating school supplies, bags, even donations, checks, whatever you've got. And go to childserve.org. Leave the E off at the end because your work isn't what
work's is not done yet.
Work is not done yet.
Scott, a lot of work to do.
Scott Santis also joined us in the studio. He is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. And I think you should come join me in Jefferson Park for Fringe Fest because this is a very fun week.
Okay.
2 weeks of performances. Well, we've got a whole schedule. We've got Tristan and Kate who are with Tapman Productions. Craig and I are trying to up the amount of time that you're going to tap dance. I said 2 minutes. You brought it down to one. Yeah. Craig thinks a marathon, at least 5 minutes.
How about just 3 2-minute bursts?
3 2-minute bursts.
Why doesn't he just tap dance throughout this entire interview?
Oh, he's like lightly tap dance behind me for the rest of the 10 minutes.
That's great. People hate that.
People hate out hearing tap in the background.
Morse code. They could tap out his answers.
Could build to crescendo.
Can you do Morse code? I think that's something we're going to need you to learn to do.
Oh, yeah. I can do the SOS.
Can you do the SOS?
Someone get me out of here. They're dancing me to death.
It's like, and, is there like the onomatopoeia of tap? Can you do that?
The onomatopoeia. You've I'm been waiting for a week to say onomatopoeia on a microphone, haven't you?
That into casual.
I don't know what's wrong.
Is that an ideogram?
I've stopped drinking sugar, so my mind is just like totally expanding.
That's debatable. Kate and Tristan are also performing this weekend at Stage 773. Tell us a little bit about that performance.
This is Tapman Productions' second season in Chicago, because if you can make it here, you can definitely make it in St. Louis. I mean, we all know that. That's an easy town.
Aim high.
So second season in Chicago, we're opening it with the show called Thrust at Stage 773.
Which is not as provocative as
it's on the
it
Thrust
sounds.
Stage, I betcha.
Or is it?
Mm-hmm. Or is it?
Yes, it is on the Thrust stage. We call it Thrust because it is on a Thrust stage, which is a three-sided stage. Mm-hmm. And we always get really upset when we go to see a show on a three-sided stage and sit on the side and watch people in profile the whole time. So the goal of this show is to...
do it in the round?
Yeah, and to stage the choreography to treat all sides equally. And it's an interesting experiment, very challenging, right? Very challenging to dance to because it really disorients you, right? So it's a lot of fun. So we've been self-producing in the city for 2 years, and show runs this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Stage 773, by the way.
Fantastic.
That's what you call a plug.
That's what you call a plug. I asked
Kate.
That's
the first time I've heard a plug.
I asked Kate where she was from originally. Where are you from?
I'm from Chicago.
Yeah. What neighborhood?
South Loop.
South Loop?
Yeah.
All right.
I've been there about 12 years. Or else I'm from the Burbs.
Okay. You know. So originally from the Burbs?
Originally from the Western Burbs in South Loop for 12 years.
Well, and this sounds like a great performance. And Anne, where are you from originally?
Milwaukee.
What brought you to Chicago?
The Fringe, actually. I've been involved with the Fringe since the beginning, and I spent the first 6 years driving down every month for staff meetings and board meetings.
Okay.
As the volunteer coordinator, and then I decided to commit whole hog and to come down to the city and really make this festival great.
Where was the Fringe Fest prior to Jefferson Park?
We were in Pilsen for the first 3 years.
Okay, because I remember being in a big warehouse, like industrial building, in a basement. And there were pews there, so it felt very religious.
We couldn't afford chairs our first few years. So the first year was that we made benches with one plank and cinder blocks. And then the second year we upgraded to two planks.
Okay. Oh, good.
And then by the third year there was a back. And then by the fourth year we went to Jefferson Park and we got real chairs.
So you're in Pilsen. God, this is like the history of benches.
Yeah. It's an upgrade every year.
There is no better radio. When you were in Pilsen, did you ever do stuff with the Dream Theater down there?
We did.
That's a great space.
It was a great space. They were great partners. We missed them. Yeah.
Yeah. They've left the city.
They did?
They've moved to Atlanta.
What drew you guys to Jefferson Park for the Fringe Festival?
We were looking for a neighborhood that would really support us and be active in helping us to produce the festival. So we started shopping around, and the alderman in Jefferson Park is really great, Alderman Arena. And he really committed to, he saw the value in what we were doing. He saw the value in the fact that we were activating businesses, but that we're bringing a lot of people out, bringing a lot of people to the neighborhood, and then bringing a lot of people in the neighborhood out to be doing fun things in their own neighborhood. And so they support us every step of the way when finding venues, handling permitting, promotions. They really are an exceptional group of people, and the entire neighborhood has been really, really supportive. So we really consider it our home at this point.
And what are some of the venues? You mentioned off the air that there's a church there.
There was a storefront theater. Yeah, we use the Congregational Church of Jefferson Park. They're presenting us, which is great. They've been with us since the beginning. We convert their meeting hall and their gym into venues. Mm-hmm. You can go onto our Facebook page and see it's happening right now. They're building the spaces. It's pretty cool to watch.
Very cool.
Yeah, and then we use Gift Theater, of course, and Jefferson Playhouse, which is a kids' theater. They do lots of kids' shows and also summer camps and things like that, and then their rehearsal space.
Yeah, that's a wonderful space. I think that's where I saw Will Durst. And tell me a little bit about the volunteers who are there making, making everything kind of run smoothly. Is it volunteers or is it all
Yeah, well, actually, our entire staff is volunteers. We get a small stipend, but we're really doing this for the love of the festival and the mission, and we believe in it. And then we bring on about 100 volunteers during these few weeks to help do every single thing. So selling tickets, managing the venues, running the lights, it's all volunteers.
And is it primarily from the theater community, or is it a little bit from the Jefferson Park neighborhood?
It's a mixture of both, yeah.
That's really fun.
Did we ever mention Kid Fringe?
That was next. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right.
Jumping ahead.
What is Kid Fringe?
Well, this was really in response to the neighborhood. Jefferson Park was saying, we really love this, but we have a lot of kids and we want to be bringing them to the arts as well. Can you be doing something that is definitely appropriate for them? So we did a pilot program last year and it was really successful. So we're growing it this year. There will be 5 shows that are guaranteed to be appropriate for kids. There's magic show, storytelling show, a good mixture of things. Kids tickets are $5 and they aren't required to have a button because we want to make sure that kids can come.
Sure.
And then adults are still the $5 button and the $10 ticket. And then we'll have a ton of free workshops and activities, crafts, lessons in telling stories and things like that. And that's happening every weekend. So the Saturday, Sunday, and Labor Day, Monday, and then the following Saturday and Sunday.
And again, Chicago Fringe Festival starts on August 31st, which with previews.
On the 31st at the Copernicus Center, we kick off the festival with a preview party. So artists will each have 3 minutes to sell their show. So it's a great that our program comes to life.
What?
You can't decide. 47 shows can be really overwhelming.
Yeah, sure.
So it's a fun way to get a little snippet of each show. And I always end up, you know, different things pop out to me than they do on the page. So it's really helpful.
Well, we have a preview right now because I believe Tristan is going to do some tap dancing in the studio. We've never had this before. Craig is going to Facebook Live this for WGN Radio, by the way. So go to our Facebook page, WGN Radio. And what, Senator? I love the Copernicus Center. That's why we both looked at each other so
Polish
oddly.
And Patty looked at me when we said Copernicus. Center.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice job.
Do you have a title for this performance? I don't want to. I would hate to think that I didn't introduce you properly, Tristan.
This is an internationally famous piece of mine.
Uh-huh.
It is being performed for various heads of state.
Excellent.
For example, the Duke of Wellington.
You're going to run out of time if you keep introducing it this long. All right. Go ahead. All right.
Well, that's fake. This is improvisation.
Excellent.
Improvisation in A flat minor.
Oh, that was pretty amazing. Oh, that's Tristan with Tapman Productions. He is going to be performing along with Kate. They're going to be at Stage 773 this Friday, Saturday, and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yes.
With Thrust in the Thrust at Stage 773, and they'll also be performing at Fringe Festival. Are you doing the premiere, the preview night on the 31st at Copernicus Center, perhaps?
Yes.
They'll be there as well. Go to chicagofringe.org for information about all the performances. And again, thank you so much to Anne, Tristan, and Kate for joining us in studio. Go to their website. I'll say it again, chicagofringe.org, to see over 47 groups perform between August 31st and September 11th. And come hang out in my neighborhood. You know, stop by the Gale Street Inn. What other places do you guys hang out at when you're at Fringe?
We're going to be hanging out at Costa Cafe. That's our Fringe Central, so there'll be food there and drinks and free activities and performances, which will be really fun. Gale Street has been a great supporter of ours in the past, so we always like to stop there. Beef Belly is delicious, and they have ice cream now, which is exciting.
And adult shakes, by the way. They do. They have adult ice cream shakes. They do what? I have to go to the news.
So what makes an adult shake?
Booze. You guys have been wonderful. We thank you so much. And you know what? We'll get some more guests if you want to, James, over the next couple weeks while you guys are running. We'd love to have you back. And maybe do a little bit of a wrap party if you guys want to come back after your performances.
Yeah, sounds good.
Awesome. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm joined by Senator Dan Katowski and Scott Stantis. And when I hang out with these guys, we like to read scenes from movies for you and see if you can guess what that movie is. What's that from? I believe it's been titled.
I don't know yet.
I don't know yet.
We got to read it.
312-981-7200. We have a gift card from Lou Malnati's for you. If you can guess, what's that from? And we apologize to the sparse words for Scott Santis. I apologize.
Well, that's okay. It's
it was a call we made earlier, and then you were offered more, and then you declined.
I did.
All right, then.
I'm a giver.
We'll make it up to you in the ensuing weeks.
Sure.
All right, then. 312-981-7200 when you know what that's from. Craig, I think we should do one from the text screen and one from the call screen, because I think we have enough Lou Malnati's for this week. So let's do that. The first
perfect
one. First one in it.
God bless Lou Malnati's.
312-981-7200.
What's your favorite Lou Malnati's pizza?
A deep dish mushroom.
Ooh.
How about you, Scott? That sounds really good.
It's so don't make pizza. Me.
You don't have. Just talking about it's cheese on bread,
and you get the cheese. And
what do you have a favorite Lou Malnati's pizza?
I'd say the sausage. Is that the one that has the?
Is that an interesting stuffed like right mushroom mm-hmm. sausage stuffed right or
oh yeah
with the stuffed spinach.
Oh yeah, spinach.
You're gonna live forever. You gave up sugar. You don't drink.
I just gave it up this week. I'm struggling a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So
that
explains
a lot.
There was I've identified a woman in my office as the sugar pusher. She's got a lot of sugar in her office, and she's always giving out candy. And I'm like, you know what? She's the problem. We're all addicted because of her, and I'm shutting it down.
What made you do this? What made you do this? I'm curious.
Because I just was like, you know what? I wasn't feeling completely right. And it was like I had a group of people. We're all going sugar-free in my office. Just starting out with drinks, you know, get away from colas, you know, sodas, and even the diet stuff, the fake sugar, too. We're just going water, water, tea, or coffee. But you can't put sugar in it.
Yikes.
It's intense.
That's very intense. It's like the Marines, but really not.
Wow, you really have a misunderstanding of the Marines too.
I know. I said it's like the Marines, but not really. So it was just, I don't know. I was trying to be funny.
I know it was. All right. 312-981-7200. What's that
from?
We
knew each other.
Are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
You ready? All right, then. There you go. I'm not. You are.
Oh, I am?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought.
You want the other one? Do you want to do it the other way?
Oh, I thought it was the other one. Okay. You wanted me.
Quiet on the set. Quiet on the set. We have to redo that. We missed that first line. We're going to have to redo that one. And everybody, 3, 2, 1 from the top.
You wanted me. Here I am.
I wanted to see what you do, and you didn't disappoint.
Laughs.
You let 5 people die, then you let Dent take your place, even to a guy like me. That's cold.
Where's Dent?
Those mob fools want you gone so they can get back to the way things were. But I know the truth. There's no going back. You've changed things forever.
Then why do you want to kill me?
Jay starts laughing. After a moment, he's laughing harder. Sounds like sobbing.
Kill you. I don't want to kill you. Why would I want to kill you? Go back to ripping off mob dealers? No, you complete me.
You're garbage. Who kills for money?
Don't talk like one of them. You're not, even if you'd like to be. To them, you're a freak like me. They just need you right now.
Jay regards B with something approaching pity.
But as soon as they don't, they'll cast you out like a leper.
Jay looks into B's eyes, searching.
Their morals, their code, it's a bad joke. Dropped at the first sign of trouble. They're only as good as the world allows them to be. You'll see. I'll show you. When the chips are down, these civilized people, they'll eat each other.
Grins.
See, I'm not a monster. I'm just ahead of the curve.
B grabs Jay and pulls him upright. One of the detectives moves for the door. Gordon stops him.
He's in control.
B hoists Jay up by the neck.
Where's Dent?
You have these rules, and you think they'll save you.
I have one rule.
Then that's the one you'll have to break. To know the truth.
Which is...
smiles.
The only sensible way to live in this world is without rules. Tonight, you're going to break your one rule.
I'm considering it.
There are just minutes left, so you'll have to play by my little game if you want to save...
With relish.
One of them.
Them?
For a while, I thought you really were Dent, the way you threw yourself after her.
B drops J, rips up a bolted-down chair. Gord moves for the door. B jams the chair under the doorknob, picks up J and hurls him into the two-way glass. The glass spiders. J bleeding from nose and mouth, laughs at B.
Look at you. Does Harvey know about you and his...
J smashes into the wall, slides to the floor. B stands over him, a man possessed.
Where are they?
Killing.
He grabs Jay, holding him close.
Killing is making a choice.
B punches Jay across the face.
Where are they?
Jay feeds off B's anger, loving it.
You choose one life over the other. Your friend, the district attorney, or his blushing bride-to-be.
B punches Jay again. Jay laughs.
You have nothing. Nothing to threaten me with. Nothing to do with all your strength.
Spits a tooth.
Don't worry. I'm going to tell you where they are. Both of them. And that's the point. You'll have to choose.
Batman. B stares at Jay.
Is she... He's at 250 52nd Boulevard. And she's... on Avenue X at Cicero.
B drops him.
Thump.
Well done. That was well done.
312-981-7200. The phone lines are not lighting up.
Now, we did get a winner via text, though. Sandra Baez from Levitt. She won a gift card, so congratulations.
A $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's. Go to loumalnati's.com to find out how you can order from one of their over 40 Chicagoland locations. You can also order online and have it shipped anywhere in the country.
It was the Jane Austen reading of Joker.
I don't know. I didn't know what to do with that. You know what? Heath Ledger...
I gotta tell you, the Joker. You reading that? That actually makes that a really even more interesting character.
Provocative. I can't because there's no
richer.
I can't copy Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger was the best Joker. So trying to copy him would be.
I wanted to see what you. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little.
Yeah, he does that little lizard thing.
A little lizard. There
and he's kind of biting the side of his lip.
He was. I don't know. He had like.
And he didn't have the full makeup on. It was sort of the makeup. I just watched the scene the other day. It's just riveting. Great scene.
You know that scene when he's walking out of the hospital is ad-libbed? Because all the pyrotechnics were supposed to go off when he walked out.
Really?
And, you know, he's dressed as the nurse. And he looks at the trigger and he like bangs on it. And goes, mm-hmm. And then it starts to go off. He goes, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then he walks away. That was ad lib because
he was absolutely brilliant. Have I ever told you the story about, you know, because they were filming a lot of it on Lower Wacker Drive, and the cleaning crew here would get out at like 2 a.m. Oh, Esmeralda, you have a traffic thing?
Is it? Yes. Northbound I-57 at US 30. So this is Lincoln Highway. We have some police activity blocking all lanes.
Oh,
so this
dear.
Is northbound I-57 at US 30.
Yikes. All right. Be careful out there, everybody, including our men and women who are in the police department. We have Chris on the line who wants to give us an answer for what was that from? What's that from, Chris?
The Dark Knight.
There you go.
It was hysterical. Oh, my God. I was laughing so hard.
I know it was. I think the sound effects and Esmeralda's stage reading is part of what really makes all of it work.
It was like B was right there in front of me.
I know
when
that
he
was...
spit his tooth out. I actually could feel it. Just,
Did you like that?
Yeah, I like that. Just to...
We got our own old timey radio going.
I know.
Right
I was
now.
Like. I didn't have anything for glass. I apologize to everyone that are.
But you know, you have to. The one thing it is, you have to listen carefully because I thought that's what it was until Esmeralda said it. Then I was like, there you go. That's what it was.
Well, thank you so much,
Chris. Thank you, Esmeralda.
That's what yeah. Red's looking out for us tonight.
There you go. Red. Hey, Red. Well, hang on the line, and Craig will get your information, and we'll send off a gift card to Lou Malnati's for you. Thank you so much, Chris.
Fantastic.
Appreciate it. And one of the reasons we chose that movie, Craig sent over a list of the we voted. People have voted what's their favorite movie filmed in Chicago, and it was The Dark Knight.
What were some of the others?
Hold on. You know what? That's a really good question. Great. You know you want to know.
A great segue question.
On 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by Senator Dan Katowski, now the CEO of ChildServe. Go to Child. Why are you laughing? Well, you're already laughing at it.
He's just Scott. And I
he's giving me a hard time. He's talking about music. Dan's down with the '60s music. I can do that.
He can do the '80s.
I do the '80s, man.
He was locked into Blondie.
So I had a puffy mullet.
So this is more your speed.
Did you have?
I did have a puffy mullet. I did.
Goodness gracious! They used to arrest people for puffy mullets.
They should have.
Walk on music.
Just checking.
Bengals.
Yeah.
Who did one of the best covers of? Hazy Shade of
Hazy
Winter.
Hazy Shade of Winter.
Yeah.
Simon Garfunkel, original singers of it.
No, it's not. This one?
Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Can't ignore it.
I'm sorry. I'll stop now.
Do okay. Come on,
right.
One more.
Oh, one more? All right. Yeah. Hold on a second. There we go.
We don't.
Whip Crack it. That whip.
Devo, Are We Not Men?
Yeah. Da-na-na-na-na. Crack that whip.
There you go. We were talking before the
Get
break about
a slab. Step on a crack. Break your mama's bang.
We're back.
All right. The city has voted on their favorite Chicago movie.
The entire city.
No, just the people who show up for the
The
parks.
People of Chicago.
The people
movies,
of Chicago.
The movies,
up.
The movies
have
in the
spoken
park.
As one.
It's those people.
12,433 votes were cast.
How many?
For the 2008 to 12,433 votes were
Sounds
cast.
Like the people of like a section of Wheaton voted.
The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight was named the favorite Chicago-made film.
Okay.
All right. Beating out 19 other films, including Blues Brothers, The Fugitive, Home Alone, While You Were Sleeping,
even The Untouchables,
and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Yes.
The Untouchables isn't on that list?
Hold on. Let me find the rest of the list. Blues Brothers. The 12 best movies. The Blues Brothers. Call Northside 777. Is that a movie or is that a... I thought that was a TV show.
No, that was Transylvania 65,000. That was a terrible movie.
I don't know what you're talking about. Rookie of the Year.
Really?
That's a
pretty good movie.
That's a good movie. The Untouchables.
Yeah.
Rookie of the Year was ahead of The Untouchables.
Really?
Come on.
Adventures in Babysitting. What? Why are you cringing like that?
I don't know. Just a reaction.
I like it. I like While You Were Sleeping. Did you like that? My husband, Steve, loves that movie. For him, that's a remote dropper. That's what Nick D calls a movie that you come across while you're flipping through the channels.
That's Janine's favorite.
Is My Best Friend's Wedding in that? Because that was filmed in Chicago.
High Fidelity.
Great. Solid. John Cusack, can't go wrong.
The Interrupters.
Should have. Is this a movie about this show?
Night Song. I've never heard of Night Song.
I don't know that song.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off, of course.
Oh, that's a
on the list. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Okay. Oh, yes. Oh, so you also have all the other John Hughes movies.
You know, My Best Friend's Wedding, it was actually more of it was filmed. They had so many locations in the Chicago area. I don't know
there's a scene that bed.
It actually is on the list. My Best Friend's Wedding, Ordinary People, Public Enemy, Risky Business.
Ordinary People.
Road to Perdition. The Fugitive, Transformers 3, Dark of the Moon.
Oh, good Lord.
Came in absolutely last. So.
I thought Transformers.
Wasn't My Big Fat Greek Wedding set here?
That was also set here.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know how much of it was it filmed here, though? I think that they set it here, but I don't know that they actually... There are films that are, they say, is Chicago, but it's actually Toronto or Vancouver.
Yeah, they were over a river or something, and that was not Chicago.
Yeah, I think that they did not film here. Because now it's become more affordable.
For what movie?
My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Yeah. I think it was set here, but not filmed here. I suspect. Hence, it's not on the list. I'm just saying.
The fact that you said hence.
Hence.
Makes it so much more legitimate. I don't even want to argue. You ever run into that when people use the word hence? You're like, oh, I'm done.
All right, yeah. They win.
Uncle.
She means it.
She means it. Hence, don't challenge me now. I'm speaking Shakespeare's language right now.
Now I got to Google it. Googling with Patty Vasquez. Where was my big hence?
Where to fall?
I think you're right about Toronto.
Is it Toronto?
I think you're right.
I thought it was in Quebec City.
Or maybe
Vancouver. I was an extra on my best friend's wedding.
You were?
In two scenes. One scene that was cut, I was at the bachelorette party, which you did not see because it was cut. They actually had me fitted for a dress, and then they also did hair and makeup for me, which was fantastic.
Really?
Yes.
Julia Roberts in a car drove next to me, or like two over.
Where they were like
they were
pulling,
filming.
Were they like pulling a car with a pickup?
Yeah, but yeah. I was like, look, it's Pretty Woman.
Oh, very cool.
And so can we see you in the other scene?
I'm in the church, so there are like 500 people in the wedding scene. So, yes, I'm on the, because there's a shot from the choir balcony, and I'm on the left side. I'm on is the bride side on the left? Who's on the left side? Yeah, the bride's
on the left.
The bride side, and I'm wearing a pale blue dress. And when everyone stands for the bride, everyone turns to the right. I turned to the left. I don't know why. I don't know what I was looking for. No, I didn't do it on purpose, so you could see me.
Nice.
That's me in a pale blue gown because it was a formal wedding, and it was supposed to be. It was so hot. We were like every take. We were all fanning ourselves. We were there for 11 hours.
What was the church they filmed?
That one on Michigan Avenue, right across the street from Water Tower.
Fourth Press.
Or the Presbyterian. Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful in there. It's really gorgeous.
That's so interesting. And they did that was for my Big Fat Greek Wedding.
No, for my best friend's wedding.
Oh, my best friend. Okay.
Yes.
That
makes sense. Yeah. So it was huge. And they did all of our hair and makeup at the Drake. So we did all the staging for hair and makeup. And they would come around and we were all sweating and we were all fanning ourselves. I had a deck of cards. So we were playing cards in my pew. Because I have been an extra on a lot of other sets, so I would try to do things that would, you know, because your brain starts to melt when you're just sitting there for hours waiting. There's a lot of, like, hurry up and wait.
Right.
So, but we got in trouble. The director just started yelling, "No one fans themselves! No one gets hurt!" So, because they would yell action, and you'd see all these people in the wedding just, like, fanning themselves. Yeah, so that's that was my experience.
Now, is only the lonely on that list?
Was only the lonely on the list, Craig? That's with John Candy and Maureen.
It was not. Only the lonely was not part of this list.
That's a mistake.
We need to talk to these people who voted. Huge mistake. Oh, hold on. We had a conversation planned, but it seems as though we are being interrupted. And you know what? I'm kind of excited because this must mean that on the line with us is Dr. Dingman, our iTunes psychic. Hello, Dr. Dingman. How are you doing?
Good evening, Patty. How are you?
I'm very well. Should we? I think that we should get right to it because you've called a little bit late. Usually you call in a little bit earlier, but I'm always grateful to hear from you.
It's always a pleasure to be exposed to your audience.
Well, I prefer that we're exposed to our audience rather than the other way around. Joining me in studio is Senator Dan Katowski and Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. Have you been busy? By the way, for our listeners who appreciate and enjoy participating with Dr. Dingman and sharing the last three songs from your shuffle on your phone or any device from which you listen to music, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Dr. Dingman, you can tell our listeners briefly exactly how you are able to read their future. Tell them a little bit about what's going to happen in their lives based on those songs.
Sure, Patty. Well, as we've discussed ad nauseum on your program, all the world is a vibration. Nikola Tesla proved this. I have been privy to some of his heretofore secret journals and things, and I've worked a system where all I have to do is listen as the universe communicates with us. The way it does it now, in this day and age, is through digital music. So the last three songs that you were randomly heard will tell me about your future. It's that simple.
And
the universe is alive and vibrationally cognizant, and it can communicate with us, and we can communicate back with it.
And for any listeners who are hesitant, maybe suspicious or concerned about what it means that, you know, wanting, you know, be exploring this avenue of perhaps what people consider the supernatural, allow me to entice you with a pizza. I think pizza crosses all barriers of fear and suspiciousness.
You're so right.
It's the ultimate equalizer, yes.
And
especially delicious in Chicago.
And it's Lou Malnati's pizza, and I promise you, sir, I will have a pizza for you next time you're in town. I know.
You've been saying this for a year and a half, Patty. I've given up. That, you know.
I know, but when you come into town, your schedule is so tight. There's really no time for us to get together over a nice slice of Lou Malnati's.
But I'm busy serving people, Patty. I have a gift, and I must think of me as a giant pie. But like back in the Bible days, there's always one more piece. I don't know how. It's like the loaves and fishes. You think, oh, I've given 12 pieces of blueberry pie. The tin will be empty, but no. I return to the metaphorical tin with another piece of insight to give to the next person I speak with.
Well, allow us to serve from your metaphorical tin to our listeners, 312-981-7200, to partake in the fascinating skills that Dr. Dingman will share with you. Senator Gutowski, have we asked you for your three songs?
Oh, yes.
You have? We have done that before?
Yes, Dr. Dingman. It was very enlightening.
Okay.
Just very clarifying.
I remember the time when we were on the air together, and in no BS, I was quite prescient from what I recall regarding your song.
Very much so. You really changed the trajectory of my life in a very positive way. Dr.
And Scott, you've also been read?
I have.
Well, now Chris will have the opportunity to be read. Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
And have you been read by Dr. Dingman before? Or have you heard it? No?
Yeah, I've heard him, but I haven't been read by him before.
All right, Chris.
Well, I'm glad you called in, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The three songs are Rolling in the Deep by Adele, Searching So Long by Chicago, and Stairway to Heaven by Heart.
Oh.
So,
yeah.
By Heart.
Your version was real good.
Okay. Stairway to Heaven by Heart. Rolling in the Deep, and what was the middle one?
Searching So Long by Chicago.
Yeah. I'm seeing a dark cloud following you, almost like Pigpen in the old Charlie Brown cartoons. I sense that you're going through a rough patch in your life right now.
Oh, very so much, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm these songs, Rolling in the Deep, you're rolling deep in your own personal issues and sorrow, and Stairway to Heaven, you're contemplating the matters of the beyond, and the other song, what was it again?
Searching So Long by Chicago.
Yeah, searching. You're searching for an answer. You're searching for a way out from under this continual rainstorm, and what I'm seeing is that the clouds will part very soon, Chris. And the sun will shine on you again. What I think you need to do is believe that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can get so low and so sad that you believe it'll never change, right? And I believe that's where you are right now.
Yeah, that's about right where I'm at right now, yes.
Yeah, and this is a business thing or a more personal thing?
Actually, both. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that you know, there's a darkness, and I'm here to tell you, and first of all, I'm very glad you called in. This will end, you know, like as Shakespeare said, all things must pass. Or that might have been the Bible, I'm not sure, but you know it's true.
Yes.
And to every season, there is a turn. Right now, you're in the depths of a bad time. But I see in the not-too-distant future, I'm seeing 2-3. That could be weeks, it could be months, I'm not sure. I'm just seeing 2-3. The sun will come up over the east and shine its light on your face, and you'll be lifted out of your funk right now. I see something good coming business-wise. You work with your hands, yeah?
My mind and my hands, yes.
Yeah. You're like the engineering or math of some kind?
Yeah, accounting, basically.
Yeah, right. You're moving numbers and money, and it's a very complicated business. I'm seeing that something good will come your way, like I said, within 2-3, and that will make you feel better.
Hmm. Well, that's good to hear.
I also feel that there is something we can do right now. What you need to do? Here's the problem, Chris. You're caught in a vibrational vortex, is what I call it. Spinning around and around, and your linear transitional momentum has stopped. You're not, you know, from birth to death, we all move forward, right? That's the goal. You're moving forward, yeah?
Yes.
What happened is you're caught in kind of a whirlpool where you're just moving in a circle. instead of continuing your forward progress, and that's because your vibration has become locked in this vibrational vortex, as I call it. Other hippies, they would say stuck in a rut, right? You're stuck in a rut. I say it in a different way because of my training. Yeah, so there's a way we can do it. Right. Where are you physically right now?
I'm laying in bed.
Okay.
Listening to the radio.
Okay, good. I need you to stand on the bed like you were 6 years old. Stand.
I wish I could. I have some physical issues that I can't stand, and my wife is next to me, so I don't want to wake her up.
That would be annoying.
Okay.
I've done that to my husband. He hates when I stand in bed while he's sleeping. It bugs him.
Okay. All right, then no standing in the bed. What I want you to do is lay down. You're laying in the bed, and from your solar plexus, I need you to create a sound that will begin to change your vibration. And I want you to do this every night as you go to bed, and the first noise that your body makes in the morning. So we're going to slowly affect your vibrational pattern, and this will bring a different energy into your life. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. I'm sensing that in a past life, you were a moose in either the Northwest or Canada or Alaska. Do you like the cold weather?
I prefer it over the hot weather.
Yeah, you like the cold. Most people prefer warm Caribbean weather, but you like the cold weather. This is because in a past life, you were not a human. You are a moose, a giant, strong moose. I'm sensing Alaska, Siberia, that area. And you would make a sound. It was your mating call, Chris. And between me and you, it worked pretty well. You know what I'm saying? You were not a lonely moose.
Sure. Okay.
Understand? All right. I'm going to ask you to make that sound again right now. And this is the sound I want you to make every night before you go to bed. And the first noise, very important, first noise in the morning when you wake up. And this will connect these two lives, and it will bring in that swaggery moose energy that you had in your previous life into this life and put your vibration back on a linear growth pattern. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure, I understand.
Okay. All right, here's the noise. Here's the moose noise. I'm going to do it for you once, and then I want you to do it. And you may wake up your wife, but that's okay. She'll thank me, and you can explain it to her later. Here's the sound. No. You sound like an elephant farting. I need you to be in the mental place of a happy moose. This is your mating call. This is like walking into a bar in downtown Chicago going, "Hey, ladies, look who's here." Understand? That's the mentality. So that's what you need to think. And then I want to hear the proud moose call from a past life. Okay, go. I'm not feeling it.
My snoring is actually worse than my moose call.
Yeah, I don't want you to snore. Patty, you're a female. Yes. Was that in the least arousing to you at all? I would think not.
It was approaching arousing. It was in the direction of it.
You could see arousing from there, but it's not quite arousing.
Yes. I could sense it was on its way.
All right, Chris, one more time. It's important for you to commit to, because you're physically, all sound is vibration, yeah? You understand that?
Yes.
Every body has a vibrational thumbprint to it, and yours needs to change, and this is how we're going to do it. So one more time, I really want to hear and feel the sexual energy of a moose in heat.
Ooh,
I felt that.
Yes.
That one I felt.
Yes.
Okay.
There was a sustaining quality to it more so than before.
There was a shift there.
Yeah, it wasn't hesitant.
It was the moose equivalent of listening to the song Shaft. You understand? That's a sexy, dirty feeling, right?
I feel a little dirty. Is that a girl moose? What was that? Okay.
So what you need to do, Chris, I realize it sounds ridiculous, but if you do this for a couple of weeks, I would say do it 2 to 3 weeks, and I guarantee you things will improve in your life.
Okay, I will.
All right, hold on the line, Chris. I was
there's a shift. You get pizza.
You get pizza. Hold on the line. Craig will take your information. And I'm glad we didn't wake up your wife. It seems like she may still be asleep.
She rolled over. That's about it.
That was part of the arousal. Yes. That's it.
Already arousing her, Chris. I'll tell you, 2 or 3 days from now, she'll be pawing you like you were catnip.
There you go.
Okay, I'll hold it.
Hold on the line. There we go.
You say that cat Shaft Dr. is a Dingman. Bad mother?
Oh. Shut your mouth.
I'm talking about Shaft.
Shut your mouth.
Before we, Dr. Dingman, we've run out of time, but before we let you go, because we talk politics every Thursday night, have you seen sort of a change in people's sort of the music they listen to and how that affects them as a result of this year's election?
I believe, yeah. I've noticed what I do is I look at the top records every week, you know, the Billboard charts and the SoundScan charts, and I kind of have an semi-scientific approach to graphing how the music changes month to month, week to week. And it seems to me that the last year or so, the music has been trending so stupid, so dumb.
So stupid.
Just the poll, if you think of the ascendance of Donald Trump, the politician, as a thick layer of vomit slowly spreading in a pristine pool, like you have a beautiful pool with koi in it, and some fat bastard comes and pukes up his all-you-can-eat Indian buffet into your fountain. The stuff that gathers on the surface of that water blocks out the sun for the koi beneath. And I see that as a metaphor for the crap that Donald Trump has been spewing into the public discourse. But I've noticed over the past 2-3 weeks that the puke is dissipating and the sun is getting through. The musical tastes of the country are changing, which leads me to believe that he doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of winning in November, which I think is good for the country, and it speaks well of the intelligence, both intellectually and emotionally, of the voting population in America. It gives me hope.
Well, there you go. I'm glad that you have hope. Does anybody else in the studio have hope? Is that help anybody? No.
There's always hope.
All right, then.
Yeah. Back to Dr. Dingman.
I realize that may sound partisan. I have no partisan. I'm an independent. I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I just see these patterns and intuit them. And I'm just telling you the pictures, the movies I see in my head from what I see. I don't control them. I just see them. And I see Donald Trump as a thin layer of vomit on the top of a koi pool. But everyone says that about
it. Well, fair enough. We see what we see, and we certainly appreciate what you bring to the show. Dr. Dingman, how can people find out more about your talents and the amazing skills that you have?
The best way is to follow me on the Twitter. I'm at iTunes Psychic on the Twitter, and that's also the website. I post videos of my live shows, clips from your show, Patty, and it's a great way to learn of what I do, and I'm traveling quite a bit. I'm going to Costa Rica in a few weeks to do a show down there, teaching people to be more intuitive, and I may be coming to your town soon. So iTunesPsychic.com is a good way to go.
I will have the pizza ready for you then when you join us in Chicago.
You know, you may be mocking me. I'm going to find out your home address, and I will be banging on your door insisting on pizza.
Oh, fair enough, and deservedly so.
Yeah.
Please, I look forward to that.
I need at least some crust.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Or crustless. We can even do crustless. I'll bring you just a sort of a pizza, you know, stew without the crust.
I was out with someone yesterday, and they referred to the body of the pizza. And at first, I didn't understand what this person was saying, but he was differentiating it as the crust and then the body of the pizza. I'd never heard the term body referred to as the triangle portion of the pizza.
I will get you some body pizza. Wait, that makes no sense. Well... to fill your metaphorical pie tin. Have a great night, Dr. Dingman. We look forward to having you back.
Thank you, Patty, and everyone on the show is wonderful speaking with you. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you so much, sir. coming up after this, it's the last call. We're going to pick out a number from Senator Katowski's Rolodex. More after this on 720 WGN. Wake me up before you go. We have to hurry up because hello? Oh, good. We are... I'm feeling a little bit nervous. Because he might answer. We're calling Senator Daniel Biss right now. We have very little time. I think this is the shortest amount of time we've had in a long time for a last call, but that's okay. I think we can make him a regular last call. He's a friendly enough guy. He's been doing a lot of work on getting information out about the budget and explaining how we got
this. Hello, this is Daniel. Sorry I missed your call. Please leave me a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you very much.
Friendly message. It's very nice. Did we get the beeper?
No, and please record your message. When you finish recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hello, Senator Biss. This is Patty Vasquez from WGN Radio.
Greg Collins.
Esmeralda Leon.
Go ahead.
Dan Katowski. Scott Stantis.
And up in news, we also have tonight.
Vic Vaughn.
We miss you in studio. I know we haven't had our crisis corner lately because the budget was temporarily resolved until everyone has their elections and we can pick it up later. But I am going to bring back, we're going to do something called Crisis Corner Now What? I just haven't figured out what that is yet. Because Senator Katowski, having now had some time away from the legislature, how are you feeling about the way things are going?
You know what? I feel good that people like Senator Daniel Biss.
How do you think things are going
in office,
Scott?
Oh, good Lord.
All right.
Daniel Biss is doing, he's doing some great stuff.
Right.
You got to follow his videos he's doing on the budget and the Illinois economy.
And you can find those all on Facebook, by the
way. Yeah, he's doing a wonderful job.
Former mathematician. He actually knows how to do math.
He really does.
Versus the GOP candidate for comptroller.
But, you know, here's the thing. That was very interesting.
Oh, isn't that funny?
Oh, yeah. Third grade math. How
maybe she can't do math. They finally tried to do it.
They did. And she just basically, she's like, I don't know why you're asking me these questions. The math was difficult. It wasn't the University of Chicago.
I'm a math agnostic. I'm still not convinced it exists.
Well, there you go. Well, Senator Biss, I hope you have a wonderful evening. And this is the end of our show. Thank you, everyone, for joining me. Senator Katowski, Scott.
We believe in you, Daniel Biss. We believe in math, too.